Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Merkel Media.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
But I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Brian Merkel.
And I'm Brian Shipper.
If you have a crazy and wild story you would like to share with us from the road, go ahead and contact us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com, or go to the HammerLaneLegends.com webpage and hit the contact section. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. We'd like to have a conversation with you about your experiences and all of the fun things that you've done out here on the road. Chipper, tell them about the voicemail line.
Voicemail line, 515-585-6375, 515-585-MERK. Simple short story, 5-10 minutes of anything crazy, wild, insane you might have seen on the road, participated in, or was the cause of. Feel free to let everybody else know. Follow simple prompts, and we'll play the voicemails when we get them.
Yes, we will. If we get them. We will play them.
Also, keep us fueled, keep us caffeinated at buymeacoffee.com/hammerlanes, virtual tip jar. If you like what we're doing, you feel like contributing, have at it. If not, thanks for looking. Who's on the show today?
Today, we have a returning guest. His name is Zach. Zach from Cincinnati. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing well. Thank you for asking.
It's awesome. I'm glad to hear that and glad to see you again. Glad to catch up with you.
Glad you had another short run last night there. That way you can be refreshed.
I did. I had a real good week. I didn't get back to the terminal north of 6:30 in the morning all week. So I call that a W right there.
Yeah. That's not a bad week at all. I know. My week didn't work out like that.
My week did.
I wish it did. What's that?
My week did.
Yeah. Well, your week, you know, when you work part time like you do.
Yeah.
You know,
well, keep in mind, Cincinnati runs like the third most miles on line haul out of the entire company. So
exactly.
They like to use us.
And they don't really like to use you.
I'm not going
to
say what we call them people, but yeah, no,
what,
I'm not going
to say. What do we call them people?
We call them little high fours.
Oh, is that, right away.
They're like getting used. Used and abused.
Oh, like a rented Amish mule.
Yeah, that's it. Speaking of which, I passed one on the way in here today. Yeah. For the first time, I was like, crap.
I actually didn't make it to Pittsburgh for the first time in about 2.5 years.
Did you dare venture up to Golden Steps to see the magic that goes on in the line haul division?
I did. Joe is taller than I thought he would be.
He sounds short on the phone.
No, everybody's told me he's a pretty short guy, and I'm just like, I mean, short to talk to.
That's it.
What's that?
Short to talk to, not short as in height.
Very, very. Maybe I misunderstood. Yeah, that could be what it is.
As in Joe, the guy with the deep voice out there.
Yes.
Yeah, Joe with the legendary, unmistakable voice. Like you know him.
Yes.
I have a friend who's he's a line haul driver in Albany because you know I'm from New York. And he's like, I've never even called Lionel because he only came to the dark side last January. And he's like, I've never even talked to Lionel. I'm like, well, you'll know Joe when you talk to him.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth? He is the one that, you know, I mean, that's the voice that is like, yeah.
Funny story about my friend Mike. He has literally, I don't know about the middle name, but the first, last name and middle initial is the exact same as a Cherry Hill driver.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. So wow. He gets his messages half the time.
I bet he does, which really makes his life fun.
Mike G?
Yes.
Yeah. Look at that. Pulling that right out of the.
it's G.
Yeah.
G, with a, hard G, but yes.
Yep. Okay. When you were saying that, I was saying you nailed Cherry Hill. I knew it only had to be one guy at that point. Yes. Look at me like I know that. See,
I don't know any of the Cherry Hill drivers.
I can't see you, Shipper. So, you know,
good thing.
Let me see if I can.
It's a good thing.
Is that better? Can you see him now?
No, I can barely see you. It's OK, though. I can see the logo just fine.
All right. That's what counts.
How much did you drink already? Try to left eye.
And just to the listeners, I told the guys already, I am battling a little bit of a cough right now. So if I don't mute my microphone in time, I do apologize.
Don't worry about it. Listening.
We all understand that. We all get those days and struggle with that kind of stuff. So it's all good, dude.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, everything's been going well. So, you know,
what's new and exciting on your end?
Yeah, I like that. Good.
Yeah, man, you know, life's been going good. New girlfriend that I'm crazy about. And, you know, summer's here, so I have to go back to mowing the lawn, which is a nightmare.
Hey,
especially when you work nights.
I'm over here.
Yeah. Yeah, I was at my girlfriend's house on a few weeks ago, and her dad was like, you mowed your lawn today. I said, yeah. He's like, well, you should have come over here and practice on mine.
Everybody's willing to let you, you know, work on them too, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then you tell him, I don't use a mower less than a 65 inch deck and a zero turn. So as soon as you get that parked in the garage, let me know. With a 2-cup holder.
Right. I unfortunately I'm packing the Ryobi electric, which honestly I love it. My friend Mike suggested it to me, and when I bought my house, I was like, okay, it's actually works really well.
Yeah,
you can actually mow your lawn pretty early in the morning and not piss off your neighbors, because it doesn't you know run silent, but it's quieter than a gas powered mower.
Wow, that's awesome. I actually pay somebody to do my grass, so.
Down here in Cincinnati, we don't make that Allentown money.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't either. But, you know, when you make the Merkle Media money, apparently, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, when you make that money. Yeah, I know. It's what it's all about. It's all about the Merkle Media money that seems to keep it stays in Tennessee. Yeah, it's not migrating north. So,
right.
It is what it is. I didn't have it in me. And when my hip went, I was like, you know, I just can't do it. So I hired somebody, you know, come out and they were cutting it for the past 2 years. And after I got my hip done, I was like, well, might as well keep doing it. Might as well let it, you know, for what it's costing me. It's like,
he was like Forrest Gump. Since you've been doing, you might as well go a little further.
Right.
Might just keep on going.
I only just turned 38 a month ago, so I still have a little spring in my step.
Oh, yeah, you got a good 30 years in you.
Yeah, you got both hips yet.
Well, you know what? 10 years of food service would say differently.
But. Yeah. Oh, I bet. Oh, my definitely. Word. I, you know, I don't know how.
I call it, that is a young man's competition.
Oh, that certainly is. Yes, it is.
You know what? Funny story. When I first transferred out to Cincinnati with McLean, like my first day there, I met the number one driver, and he was still using hand carts with no brakes on them. And I said, I met him like my first day there. I was like, why are you using regular carts with no brakes on them? He's like, oh, I'm just used to them. I'm like, yeah, but don't you want to walk in 5 years?
Good question.
I did not know hand carts had brakes.
Yeah. Oh, they do. So I can go down a ramp with 500 pounds on them. I used to do that regularly. You gotta remember, boxes of fresh chicken are 55 pounds a piece.
Right.
Yeah. And that's just the chicken weight, not the water weight. So right. God only knows how much that it actually was.
Yeah. Holy cow.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I wouldn't have been too well, the food service division. Cause you know, it's gravity. Well, it's down. Yeah. Boxes of gravel.
Boxes of Taco Bell beef are 40 pounds a piece. I would go down the ramp with 12 of them.
Wow.
Wow. Oh, yeah. That's,
so yeah. Then you got to do a VIR on the hand truck in case the brakes are worn out. Is there a runaway ramp there for you?
It's lost air pressure. The buttons are going. The buttons are popping.
Dude. Yeah. Here we go. We're going to get off topic.
I know. We're going to go. Chris is going to be goofy now.
My truck went in. It had to go to Washington because it had the wrist pin rattle. So I guess they overhauled the engine, whatever. Comes back. My pressure gauge for the primary air tank doesn't work.
Oh, really?
It's at zero, right?
At least you know.
It's at zero. I said, I asked him, I asked our crew on crack in Allentown. I says, do you think you can go under the hood there and probably plug a sensor in to make this thing work? Well, I don't know where it is. Okay. Well, wow. It's a week now. It's a week. But I was like, you know, the buzzer doesn't even go off. The red light doesn't go off. So it's obviously, it's not even, something's not plugged in, or they plugged it into the wrong thing. I don't know. Anyway, back to the show.
Yep. Back to Zach.
But it doesn't it doesn't have wrist pin knock.
Well, that's good. At least that stopped. You know, somebody figured out that.
And somebody did tell me with these new Macs.
Yeah.
They went, so strap in for this one. They went back in the rubber straps to hold the hoods down.
That is true.
Yeah.
I can confirm that is actually true.
Yeah. Wow.
Which is, listen, I don't drive a Mac, but I've heard enough complaining from my cohorts in Cincinnati that it was a massive problem, and they went back to the straps. Right. So
yeah.
We've been getting an influx of the new, I mentioned in the previous episode that, you know, Freightliner changed their body style several years ago. And I was the only one in Cincinnati with the newer body style Freightliner. We still had a couple of old ones.
Right.
And since then, we've gotten like five of them. So now I go to work every day, and I'm like every other driver. I can't find my truck just on appearance only.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I actually, right before we got the second new Freightliner, or like – well, I shouldn't say that. Right before we got our first new Freightliner after mine, wow. I'm like, man, I shouldn't have gotten that fairing replaced.
Yeah. At least you can pick it out right away.
Right.
That's the truth.
But I ended up putting my truck numbers on the Deer Slayer, and so it's a little bit easier to spot now.
Gotcha.
It's the only one that has the numbers like that. So
I'm just waiting. I got another week and a half, and I'll be able to maybe see my truck again.
That would be good.
Well, you know, what's worse is like I'm seventh in line for a new tractor right now.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, how much you want to bet all the brand new Freightliners the company's getting will be completely out just in time for when it's my turn. And they'll be like, oh, here's a new Mac for you.
Well, maybe they'll get you a Peterbilt.
I'll take a Mac.
I don't think
we have a Peterbilt that spends more time in the shop.
I think that's the reason why they're not going that route.
Right.
It's got more miles pulling in and out of the shop than it does on line haul, honestly.
Right. Yeah, the guys in Harrisburg, they say the same thing. It's got more miles on the tow truck.
Yeah. That's a shame. That really is a shame.
Yeah.
You'd think that'd be a decent truck, but apparently
not. I don't know. It all depends. You know what the combination was with it, or
Is it like a Mac where some of them are, some of them aren't.
Yeah,
some of them run right, some of them don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you mainly bought it for the name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, that's a shame.
They don't even look pretty. So I mean, there's that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I agree.
So I look at it this way. All right. Let me ask you this: we're getting we lost everybody.
Yeah, we're good.
These new Macs you got. Your distance thing, is that set at 3 or 2 seconds?
Couldn't tell you. I don't drive one.
Oh, you don't drive a Mac. That's right. Never mind. I'll pay attention to the show.
Do the Freightliners have them?
The Freightliners have them. So my truck, actually, it does have the following distance alert. Okay. And you can actually turn it. The standard is 3.6 seconds, and you can turn it down to 2.4, which is what I do. Because
you can adjust yours?
I can on mine.
Okay.
And I always turn it down to 2.4 because now you're getting close to when it's going to set the camera off, and I don't want to trigger an event, right? So I can turn it down on mine. And I was one of the other guys got a new Freightliner, and I was like, oh, here, let me show you something real quick. And I went to go hit the button sequence to go do it, and it was gone. So,
right.
But the big difference between a Freightliner and a Mac, even if you can't turn that alert off, is the fact that it goes away. So like when somebody gets on the interstate and you get the alert, all right, following distance, you hit the button to back off the screen, and now you can have access to your radar and say, oh, look, they're accelerating. I don't need to move over.
Right.
Whereas the Mac, it just keeps going beep, 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 and you can't see anything. You don't get the information that you need.
Huh. Mine has the speed on it. My Mac has the speed on it, and mine set at 3 seconds, starts going off. I'm used to the 3 second where – okay, it's starting to beep, and I got a second to play. Now I was jumping in and out of trucks. I was being a truck whore trying to, when my truck was down. I got in some of these trucks that were at 2 seconds. I'm like, oh, she just probably had, popped the video because it turns on at 2, and 2's the magic number for the viewing. For So I was like, I was just curious about that with the freight.
Yeah, my whole point with the Freightliners is that, like, you can back out of that alert stage where you can still see what's going. Whereas once you set it off in the Max, it's slow down or nothing.
Yeah.
You don't get access to the information that you need. Like, oh, look, they're accelerating. I'll be fine.
Yeah. Because the screen gets covered up with the whole alert thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't see diddly.
And it's extremely annoying as well.
It is. My camera's, I have a Mac, and mine is set at 2 seconds. And you just get used to it,
That sounds terrible.
What's that?
Getting used to it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I
comply or die.
It's basically what it is.
Resistance is futile.
Yes. The meetings will continue until the morale improves. Oh, God.
Oh, my word. That's hilarious.
But I got to say, line haul, I think it was, Russ. I was going to say Michael. said, while I'm out getting my eyes regrounded that I can see again. Come on out. We'd like to have you out here and show you what's going on. I said, you throw everything against the wall at 12:30 like monkeys finishing the runs for the night. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I can talk Merkel into driving. Being a chauffeur, take a night off.
And go out to Pittsburgh?
Sure.
Why not? Go hang out with all the cool guys out there.
Hang out with them at night, and then we talk to Mr. Hamill in the morning, and then we call it a day, and we come on back.
We'll take all this equipment with us. And
I did bring him some Little Debbies just for you guys, though. Unfortunately, I couldn't find any moon pies at the store, but I brought them as some sort of offering.
That's all it takes. It just, just need to have something to take in there. And you're
they were big on the moon pies when Switzer had to make his appearance there. Oh, yeah, yeah.
What did he go out there for?
Oh, I don't know what he did, but
he had to spend time in line hall.
Yes.
While they showed him what they do.
I guess.
You know.
I don't know. I mean, I went to Pittsburgh for the first time in like 2.5 years. And then right after that, we got kicked out of Smithton. So I don't know if there's something to that, but, you know, maybe it can all be blamed on me.
Well, what'd you have to go to Pittsburgh for? Like, did you have to go out there to visit somebody?
I bid it on Mondays.
Okay.
For mile. Cause it's a 600, almost a 600 mile round trip. So I like to get like the majority of like, just get some miles in on Monday.
Right.
And then kind of work my way down towards Friday.
Kind of ease on in the weekend.
Slap by Friday, you can do a Columbus turn and go home.
Listen, Cincinnati doesn't do a Columbus turn. We do three of them.
Really?
Yeah, it's like triple Harrisburg.
What's your mileage for that? Like, how far is that time?
It's 98 miles one way. So it's basically 600. But here's the thing is your load going to be ready when you get there?
It's always a good question.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, exactly.
And the worst part is, it's not if my load's going to be ready at Harrisburg. It is. It's whether your load's going to be ready in your own terminal on your second trip.
Yeah, we actually ran a triple Columbus last night. We don't do them very often, but we do them. That being said, you know what? Columbus, you know, there's been some changes made on the dock in the last couple of years in Columbus. Uh-huh. And it's honestly not the death sentence for Cincinnati that it used to be. They really have done a great job of getting us in and out, in and out, in and out. They keep their best guys on Cincinnati usually every night, and so you can be in and out of there quick now.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's gotten to the point where Cincinnati drivers are like, "Can I? Oh, you need somebody to go? Yeah, I'll go to Columbus."
Wow.
Yeah,
it's become that positive.
You don't want to let that secret out, or everybody's going to start bidding on it.
Yeah, nobody will know now.
Nobody will know.
No, it's just us because we run all their indie freight. So,
right.
There you go. That's it right there.
Sorry, guys. They're like, "Oh, we can get all this indie freight off the dock." Yeah, load Cincinnati.
Yep, exactly.
It is amazing. Well, let's get into some of your stories here, Zach. Let's take a look at, we chit chatted about the company enough and, before
we all get fired.
Yep, exactly. Do you have your list?
I know these. I know them off the top of my head. You just bring something up and I'll.
All right, dude.
I'll get to it.
The Phantom Yard Dog. That sounded like a pretty interesting story.
It's a short one, but it's funny. Again, back when I worked for McLean, we had this admin named Christian. Real sweet lady. Real personable, funny. She got hired there because one of her friends worked in the office. She had no logistics experience whatsoever. Mm-hmm. She just got hired because she knew somebody. And they're like, she took to it pretty quick. But there was still some things she didn't know. And so one day, McLean has a huge contract with Penske, which is important for later. To the point where like McLean would have 24-hour service from Penske. Like they had somebody on site all day long. Mm-hmm. And they were also our SOS service. That being said, Penske calls up the office one day and they say, and Christian answers the phone. They said, we're going to take the yard dog. And she's like, okay. And she turns to, after she gets off the phone, she turns to somebody else. She's like, hey, Penske's just called. They said they're taking the yard dog. I didn't even know we had a dog.
Somehow I just saw that coming. That's like, that's bad.
Nobody feeds it. Nobody walks it.
Who's feeding this animal? Drivers are coming back and just leaving it leftovers. What's going on here?
Right. Has it been to the vet?
Yeah.
You know, we're taking care of it like we're supposed to.
Some of the drivers are rabid. I'm concerned.
They were in the yard dog.
That is great. That is great. That, you got to love the people who don't know the lingo, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's all good.
What about the unstoppable force meets the immovable object? This should be interesting.
So basically the way I told you guys before, I trained through Stevens Transport Driving School. Right. And basically the way their system works is you go, it's a 3-week course. All they do is teach you how to pass a road test. They send you on a truck with a seasoned driver for 5 weeks. He's the one who teaches you how to run the road, deal with shippers, receivers, you know, teaches you how to do like backing, you know, like all the things you need to know to you know, do this for a career. Right. And so you do that for 5 weeks. You come back, you do another week's worth of classes. And then what they do is they send you out for 3 weeks with another trainee. Basically it's sort of like, you know, they're getting you ready to run a truck, but they don't want to cut you loose just yet. So they stick you with another trainee. Neither one of you know everything just yet, but maybe your trainer taught you something that just didn't come up with the other guy. And now he's got a chance to learn from you and you have a chance to learn from him. Right. Mm-hmm. That being said, Stevens has a lot, they like to propagate rumors. Because there's certain things that they don't want you to do, and they're okay with leading you to believe that if you do X, Y, and Z, you'll get fired, right? One of which is U-turns, which, to be fair, will actually get you fired. But like the rumor would be like they could tell when you're doing one on your truck, and like we're both brand new drivers, we don't want to get fired from, you know, our very first job,
right?
So that leads me to me and my trainee partner, a guy named Dan, 12 years later, I still talk to him from time to time. So he and I are running a truck, 10555, still remember. And we're in Otay Mesa, California. It's literally on the border. Okay. Right next to San Diego. It's like a suburb. Mm-hmm. And we have to go bring this trailer to a drop yard. And we pull onto this dead end street with like, oh, it's almost like a little cul-de-sac at the end of it, where like it's basically for truck turnaround. Uh-huh. And we just stopped dead. We're like, we can't do a U-turn. Like, we're so close to Mexico. Like, my phone is blowing up with international rates. That's how close. I can see the fence. It's a Kentucky 3-rail. I'm like, oh, that's border security for sure. So we ended up sitting there for like 3 hours. We must have called the company like 100 times because we're like terrified to just do this U-turn. And yeah, I mean, in hindsight, like, I'm like, obviously that's what that little turnaround was for, but you know, that was 12 years ago. Like, I know things now. Back then I was 27 years old, you know, driving a truck for the first time, just scared out of my mind. And we just sat there for 3 hours, not making a decision on anything. Cause we're like, this seems obvious that this is what this is for, but we couldn't pull the trigger because we were so terrified of getting fired.
So we drove into Mexico, went into Tijuana, made a U-turn there, and came back.
They're not going to know.
Right.
Fun fact, if you go into Mexico and you don't have the proper paperwork, you'll lose that truck forever. You'll never see it again.
Wow. That's good to know.
Don't do that.
I was going to say, you have a hard time crossing the border of Pennsylvania. You're quite a blues crossing the border going to Baltimore. He only wants to go north.
I can't even imagine how difficult things are in Baltimore now with the bridge going down.
I wouldn't want to be a city guy there, and I wouldn't want to be one of their line haul guys that has to go up to East Windsor or Norristown or
Jump on 95.
Yeah, but you got to go out. I guess they kind of
jump right on 95 and go through the tunnels as long as you got the hazmat.
Yeah, none.
Right. Tear all those bills off.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no. And he said that here.
So somebody just moved up in Allentown.
Yeah. But he's not far enough up the list for it to really matter to, you know.
This must be my lucky day.
Let me know what it's like working for Venezia.
Yeah, I'll let you know. All right.
Yeah, XPO is hiring.
Yeah,
hope you enjoy hooking sets for the rest of your life.
All right. Yeah, but you hook them, but they don't have to stay hooked. They just usually let them back up anywhere.
Hey, you know what? The way things have been going on 70 in Western Pennsylvania lately, that's not that far out of the ballpark.
Pretty normal.
Yeah, we've seen a few of them, satellite trailers just hanging out by themselves. We're like, oh, no, he's having a bad day.
Yeah, either that or they're just opening up a new terminal somewhere around there. Right. They're just, you know, advertising, letting people know. Yeah, right. Look, we're
coming to this exit.
New storage space.
Yeah, right.
May or may not be under power.
Right. Or there's illegal immigrants inside. Yeah, they took it over from New York.
Oh, you know.
That's me making friends.
What is blowing up Toledo besides Shipper?
So,
sounds like a bad Taco Bell story.
There is a Taco Bell story, but that's not it.
Yes, there is a Taco Bell story.
I'm surprised I didn't think of this the last time, but so before I worked for Pitt, I worked for a company called Quality Carriers, running hazmat tanker, and I got this run. I don't remember the exact chemical UN number, but it was a flammable of some sorts going to this plant in Toledo, and so I get there. And I check in with them, and they say, yeah, pull up over there. That's where we unload you. So I do. And I get out of the truck, and they start pulling out airlines. I'm like, guys, what are you doing? They're like, oh, we're unloading the truck. I said, you trying to blow up the whole damn city? What's up? What's wrong with you? And they're like, oh, we do it all the time. I'm like, well, not today.
Let me unhook this, and I'm going to move away about 1,700 yards. Have at her.
Yeah, so for the people who are not familiar with hazmat or tanker, there's two ways to unload one. You can air it off, or you can pump it off. Mm-hmm. Airing off a tanker is basically you can't air off a flammable, because when you put air under pressure, it raises the temperature of it. And so when you raise the temperature of air pressing against a combustible liquid, bad things happen.
Yeah, you get combustion.
Yes, exactly.
Not ignition.
Yes, we do. Houston, we had a problem. We don't anymore. It's all over. We're all gone.
Yeah, so these guys, I put my foot down. I'm like, they're like, oh, we do it all the time. I'm like, well, my company said not to do it, so we're pumping it. And it took a lot longer than it needed to, but hey, at least we didn't blow up Toledo that day.
Amen, brother. And y'all made it home.
Toledo thanks you for that too.
They do. They're very happy about that.
Although I'm sure the guys at the still old terminal would be like, well, we could have moved a lot sooner.
You're right. This is true.
And somebody else would have paid for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
You know, that's always a good thing.
Hey, you know, Baltimore's getting a brand new bridge on China's dime, so yeah. You know.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Which is good for them, you know.
I hope they get that money up front.
Although I was talking to a friend of mine. He said it'll probably take 10 to 15 years to replace that bridge. So it's not going to be.
They were saying five.
I hope so.
They might want to use something a little bit stronger than Lincoln Logs to build it this time.
Yeah, Legos maybe.
I've never seen a bridge collapse like that.
Well, how many times you see a boat hit a bridge?
Well, yeah, I was about to say the same thing. Like, this doesn't happen every day.
You guys not watch YouTube channels?
No.
You don't. I know you don't.
I watch YouTube. I see trains hitting trucks, not boats hitting bridges.
YouTube. It just
the boat's got one job. Float underneath the bridge.
Ships hitting bridges. I'm serious. Just YouTube.
I will do that, actually, because now you've got me curious.
Yeah, it's the first time I've ever seen one where the bridge actually, it looks like it was put together with, you know, Lincoln Logs. You know, it just collapsed, you know, like there's nothing holding it up. It's like, it's just suspended there.
There was three pins, that's all.
Copperfield floating around there, just keeping it up.
I don't doubt it, honestly. I was on my way to Marietta one time working for McLean, and I saw a barge on the Ohio River just beached it. And I'm like, well, I don't think you can park there.
I'm just waiting for high tide. We're going to get a taco.
What's internal affairs?
So this is another QC story. So again, for those not familiar with tanker, tankers have two valves, an internal and an external. And you cannot drive down the road with and on a tank. You can't drive down the road with anything open. You can't have the external open. You can't have the internal open. You can't have the dome popped. You can't have the pressure valves open. You can't have anything open. And so that's part of your pre-trip is to make sure everything is sealed on the trailer, be it empty or otherwise. I failed that miserably. And so I picked up from a company in Cincinnati. I don't remember what it was or what I was hauling. All I know is it was some sort of resin, and it was needs to be kept hot. And they're insulated trailers, so it can make it from point A to point B, you know, inside the tank. I forgot to close the internal when I hooked up to my trailer. So I get there, and they did a top on those. So we popped the dome, and they loaded me like that. And so I drove from Cincinnati to Chicago with the internal valve open and this resin that needs to be kept hot, basically just exposed to the outside temperature the entire time. So I get to Chicago, they start unloading. They can't, it's literally hard as a rock. They can't get it open for nothing. They're literally drilling through it at this point. And I ended up having to leave the trailer there overnight. And when I went and picked it up the next day, there was crap everywhere. It was a mess.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was a rookie mistake on my end for running tanker.
How did they get it out? Like, did they have to heat it back?
I don't really know what they did. I can only imagine they had to bore it out with some sort of, because it was literally, it's a resin. That stuff gets pretty hard when you know, it solidifies. And so, yeah, they had to, I don't know how they got it out. They bored it out. They melted. I don't know what they did, but there was the back of that trailer looked like a war zone.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I screwed the pooch on that one.
Yeah, that's an expensive lesson too.
Well, look at it this way. At least you know nothing was coming out that pipe.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
The people of Chicago were very safe that night. The guys unloading the trailer, not so much.
Not so much a lot.
Yes, sir. What do you want to see? What do you want to hear, Ship?
I'm just checking my eyes here.
Just checking my eyes.
Fifth wheel failure. Yeah, fifth wheel failure.
So this was at McLean. I was running an Anderson, Indiana route one night. So I go get hooked up and at a stick. It's important. Not that important, but whatever. I hook up to my trailer, right? And you know, I'm doing all the stuff, all the things, and I go to pull out, right? And there was a truck and trailer hooked up combination next to me. So when I pulled out, I had to pull out pretty far and do like a hard 90-degree turn to get around the unit next to me.
Right.
One of our supervisors was outside doing a temperature check on all the trailers. And he kind of made eye contact with me like, I need your box unit. So he saw me make this hard 90-degree turn. I pull up to him. He checks it, sends me on my way. I pull up out front, go in, get my bottles of water, because McLean, it was one thing McLean did do for us, is they would supply us with lots of water. They just had cases of it for us to take and drink. And so I pulled up, went in, grabbed my water, back out to the truck, slid my tandems forward, so that when I locked it into place, I'm pulling the truck forward with the trolley bar engaged, locking the pins. Go to leave, pull around, go through the whole little S-turn there they have at the exit. I don't know why. It makes no sense. Get to the end of the driveway, make a complete stop because there was a truck coming, so I'm yielding to traffic, make a right turn out of the lot. And as I'm accelerating, I got this sudden feeling of weightlessness. I'm like, oh, this can't be good. And I slammed on the brakes. The truck and trailer came disconnected. I caught the trailer.
Wow.
And I'm thinking to myself, wow, I must have just screwed something up. I'm embarrassed, ashamed, whatever, all the things. So I dolly the landing gear down, get it raised up a little bit, get reconnected, and I go about my way. Looking around, nobody sees nothing. I'm like, there's a little ding in the pavement. No big deal. And so I'm on I-275 going up to Indiana, and I start thinking about the whole thing. I'm like, there's just no way. I'm like, I made that hard turn. I slid my tailgate. I came to, and I said, everything I did, that trailer, truck and trailer should have come disconnected sooner.
Right.
So I called the office. We had this admin. He was a sergeant major in the Army. So everybody called him Sarge. I said, hey, Sarge. I said, you see me out in the yard. You saw that turn I made. I said, I slid my tandems up front. I made the right turn out of the lot. I said, and the truck, that's when the truck and trailer came disconnected. I said, there's no way I missed something. And he's like, all right, well, I said, do me a favor. He said, pull over and do a tug test. And I said, if it stays connected, call Penske and have them meet you at your first stop. I said, okay, I can do that. So I pull over. Anybody who's ever driven a stick, gotten stuck in the snow, you put that thing in sixth gear, you got torque for days.
Right.
So that's what I did. I threw it in sixth gear, started letting off the clutch. I almost stalled the truck out. That's how hard I was pulling on the kingpin. Didn't come disconnected at all. I call Penske SOS. I explain the situation. And Amber apparently was not sympathetic because she said, well, if you're not having an actual emergency, I can't send anybody out to service you. And I said, you realize we pay you guys a lot of money, right? She's like, I don't care. I said, whatever. And I hung up on Amber, and that was the end of it. So I drive all the way down 74. I get to Indianapolis, drive up to Anderson, and I get to my first stop. Now, this Buffalo Wild Wings in particular, you had to go through a roundabout, get into the lot, and then jackknife the trailer to set up for the delivery. So I do that, make the delivery, drive to an Applebee's about a mile away, only to realize I left my scanner inside the Buffalo Wild Wings. So I drive all the way back to the roundabout, go in the store, grab my scanner, back out through the roundabout, out to the light that I'd already made a left at. I start the light, I get the arrow, I start making a left, I'm in the middle of the intersection, I get that sudden feeling of weightlessness again.
Wow.
Immediately slam on the brakes, catch the trailer a second time, and it's rush hour. Like, cars are losing their mind, I'm in the middle of the intersection, I called the law, I said, you got to get somebody out here, I'm not getting out of this truck until we have some police on scene, because I'm not getting run over. The cops come out. I get hooked up to back up to the trailer, and the cop's like, you need anything more from me? I said, just follow me to my first stop. It's a quarter mile away. It's at Applebee's right there. In case this thing comes disconnected again, I just see you're behind me. So he does. And at that point I called McLean, told him what had happened. They were like, do not move the truck. We'll send you a rental. Cause obviously the fifth wheel has got a problem. And, so they sent me out a replacement unit. And that was the end of it. But yeah, I was, they were shocked. They're like, I can't believe you caught that trailer twice. I'm like, well, do what you got to do. And I told, listen, we've hated on McLean a lot, but I told my management what had happened with Amber. And one of our managers, Curtis, had called Penske SOS, the higher ups, and had a very strongly worded conversation with it. Turns out Amber was really, very sorry.
She was. Yeah. But that was helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine if that thing had come disconnected under any other circumstances? It could have been fatal.
Yeah. Yeah. That would have been scary, dude. That would have been big time scary. Holy crap.
Yeah.
I mean, and the fact that you actually caught it twice.
Right, right.
I mean, you're lucky you caught it the first time. It's skill to catch it the second time.
It's like, hey, no. You know what?
Skill would have
been. It's better to be lucky than good.
Yeah, that is the truth.
Skill would have been. Truth. He caught it and he tapped the brakes hard enough on the cab. It just rehooked. It slid in. Bang!
You know what?
Gear.
Yeah. I'm not denying that one bit. So I got lucky.
Yeah, I mean, how many times you get, just at the yard where somebody,
right?
You know, you go through your progression every time and you get somebody decides they want to yak with you and it breaks up your train of thought. Right. It derails like Conrail and Norfolk Southern. And there you are pulling out and you hear this boom.
Oh,
landing gear would be a useful thought right about now.
That's a real thing, though. That happened to me at McLean. We had a strip down bay where they would take all the dunnage and garbage off the trailer, clean it out because it was food. And I had I just backed into the strip down bay and I got out and, you know, my normal routine would be to get my carts out of the side door, place them on the catwalk, disconnect the airlines, put the landing gear down. You know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. This other driver comes over, starts talking to me.
Right.
And, you know, I talked to him for, I don't know, 5 minutes or so. I do all the other steps, didn't put the landing gear down. I'm about to pull over, and I got pull out, and I got lucky because one of the yard guys was just happening to be walking by, and he saw the landing gear wasn't down, and he stopped me. But it's that easy to get disrupted from your routine.
It is. Exactly. Yeah. Distractions, no matter what, you know, it can be a real problem. Mm-hmm. You know, just can.
Yeah, because that's a gripe of mine. You know, don't bother me until you see me getting in the truck. Then everything's done.
Yes.
Right.
No.
Because it happens a lot.
It does. It happens. I mean, it happens to all of us at some point. You know, you get in your truck after you just had a conversation with somebody and you start driving away and everything is hooked up and everything is done right. But you start asking yourself, well, I didn't check. Did I do? You know, all the questions start running through your head.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we all do it. Yeah. We all.
Oh, yeah. No, there's times where like, did I set the brakes?
Right. Right. Yeah. Which is, that's the nice thing that, you know, when you go to get out of the truck now that you do get that horn, you know.
Unfortunately, I don't have that on mine. They did add that to the Freightliners, but my unit is old enough that it doesn't have it.
No kidding.
Or you get 75 miles down the road and you're like, do I have the right trailer number? Like, you're 75 miles down the road at this point.
Yeah.
Every single night, I looked at the trailer twice, checked the seal number three times, and I'm still looking at my mirrors, like, waiting for a street light to illuminate it.
Waiting for an exit or on-ramp there. Okay. You know,
I think that makes us all feel better about ourselves. So I think we all do that. You know, yeah. Like, do I get the right trailer number? Do I have the right trailer number? And you look at it 15 times, and it's still the same number it was when you looked at it last time, but you're looking again. That's what go ahead.
That actually was a real thing one time. My trailer was in the yard and I'm looking for it and I see it. So I kind of swing out and I look through the back window and I just start backing up to a trailer. Hold on a second. Sorry, I had to cough.
That's all right.
I look to the mirror and I see a flammable sign, which is, I knew my trailer had a flammable placard and I back right up under it. And, I go through the whole process of getting connected and I go to start filling out my paperwork and I couldn't remember off the top of my head what the trailer number was. Mm-hmm. And instead of looking at my paperwork, I looked in the mirror and that's when I was like, okay, I don't remember my trailer number, but I know it's not that number.
Right.
Turns out because we have this driver in Cincinnati. He comes in every day and he just does laps around the yard walking until his load is ready. And so anytime you're in the yard, you're like, well, you got to watch out for Ed. You might see him. He might pop out anywhere. And so I pull out in front of these trailers and I'm, you know, looking around. Is Ed around, you know? And I back under to a trailer that was right next to mine, but also had a flammable placard. And if I had looked at my paperwork to write down that trailer number, I would have just hooked to the wrong one and left.
Right. Well, look at it this way. You would have looked at one of your mirrors and you would have saw the right number.
Yeah.
Right next to you. Yeah.
Well, it was the right number on the right side. Somebody changed these numbers.
You know, and it does happen. I mean, you know, when I was doing the run that you're doing, there was a load in
so many numbers in a night, you know. Well,
that and you know, you got drivers coming in, somebody grabs, you know, that they think they got the right trailer. And the load I'm supposed to take to Norristown is finding its way to Baltimore,
right,
with another driver. And you're like, because he didn't, you know, he didn't check his numbers. He didn't look, whatever it was, you know. And like I said, you know, we all check. We all do it. We all make that stupid mistake. You know,
what gets me is when the trailer, you have two trailers in the yard that are like one digit off.
Yep.
And you like, you see something scratched out or some white out on your paperwork, and now you start having doubts. You're like, well, are we sure?
Yep. or you see that one of our dock workers who writes like a kindergartner tried to write your trailer number in for you. And now you're trying to decipher what they were writing.
Right. Right. Yeah. Like,
can we just print this out? Can you just print out what the numbers are? Can you print it and then put the sheet up? Can we do that?
Yeah.
It's a lot easier than trying to decipher somebody else's hieroglyphics. It's
a lot easier than transporting a load twice.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, line haul is not fond of that. Just so anybody who doesn't realize that, they feel a certain kind of way about that.
Yeah, they frown on that, from what I understand.
We had a driver, he in Cincinnati, he hooked to the wrong load in Cleveland. And because we do, I actually did it the last two nights, Thursday night and Friday night. It can be done in either direction, Cleveland, Toledo. You can go up to Cleveland, head across 80 to Toledo, and then come back to Cincinnati, or do it the other way. It just really depends on what freight needs to be moved. So he gets up to Cleveland, hooks a trailer, drives it to Toledo. He's like 5 minutes from the Toledo terminal, and they call him. They're like, what trailer number do you have? And he tells me, he's like, well, thanks a lot. We just brought that trailer to Cleveland. He just brought it back to Toledo.
Oops. You know, it happens.
Yeah.
And they do frown on that. They really
do. They're not fond of that at all.
No, because now they still got to move that trailer. And the one that you were supposed to take still has to get
moved. Yeah.
So, you know, it's like for them, it's a twofer.
You know what? Listen, I know they, from what I've been told, they still pay you. I'd honestly have a hard time taking money for that, because I'd be like, I screwed that up so bad, I don't want to get paid.
Right.
Yeah, that's just me.
I don't know. I don't know if they pay or not. Like, I don't
know. They do. They still pay you.
I'll take your word for it, because I never, you know.
I know a couple of guys who've done it, and they said they still got paid, but the line haul was not happy, and they did have a conversation with the boss. It wasn't coffee, I'll tell you that much.
No soda with the supervisor. No coffee.
No, this is it's
sign this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very strongly worded conversation.
It is, and you don't really say a whole lot. It's not really a conversation. It's more one sided.
After
the, you know, you took the wrong trailer. That's as much as your yeses. That's all you're contributing to this conversation.
Right.
And now it's just them. So, you know, yep. It is what it is. And you get it, you know, it's funny because when somebody else makes a mistake, you know, it's not usually as severe as what something like that can be. You know, what if it has a fast track? What if it's got, so, you know, you're trying to get freight moved. You're trying to. And it's not that like it's the end of the world. It's just it shouldn't happen, you know. But it happened.
Oh yeah, no. And you know what? Last year, Cincinnati got excellence award for the company. We were at like 99.7% on our fast tracks, and so one of our run, we run a lot of Chicago's freight for up there, and one of the things we do is we go through Indianapolis to Chicago. And somebody had, one of the dock workers had put a fast track that was destined for Chicago or destined for Indianapolis on the solid Chicago instead of the one going through Indy. And that was the only fast track we missed that year.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah. Well, I blame you guys for not catching it fast enough, because they could have always swung through Indy on the way.
Well, you know what? Half an hour is. You guys have never been to Chicago. Granted, they're getting a new terminal, but when you get to Chicago, the yard guy tells you where to put your trailer. You can't even back into a door there. The yard horse has to do it.
Really?
So you put your trailer in the yard. You can be there half an hour, get your brake in, hook to your, you know, get your hook and leave. Your trailer hasn't even made it to a door yet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, are they that big, or is it just that, is the terminal small or what?
It's tiny. It's I've been there a few times. I only just for the first time bid it this current bid that we're on. I've run it three or four times. I still don't. We talked about the fuel island in Pittsburgh. I, you know, the last time I was on, I can see how I missed the fuel island in Pittsburgh. The Chicago terminal is so tiny. I still haven't found the fuel. I don't even think they have one. I think they go get fuel somewhere else. I was told by somebody that the Chicago guys get fuel at our terminal.
Right.
Wow. I didn't know that.
I haven't even found a squeegee for my windows.
Would you like one?
I was waiting for a comment. I threw the pitch and Shipper just swing and a miss.
I was not gonna go with the other. I wasn't gonna go with the woman, but
I'm lobbing up softballs here, brother. Come on.
My head, it was like it popped in there, and I'm like,
I got told I have to be a little more calm, not to voice my opinion so much a lot. So
calm.
Yes. So this
a little bit more PG rated.
Oh. Yeah, you know, because well, I can't say that word either. What word? WL.
Yeah, you can't say that either. Behave yourself.
So this just popped into my head. When the last time I was on, when it finally aired,
keyword finally.
Yeah. Well, no, because all the other Cincinnati drivers that had been on had like theirs aired like, you know, 2-3 weeks later, and like mine was like a month and a half. So I wasn't offended. I figured like you guys had to space out. Like, no, we're gonna have all these Cincinnati drivers on, and everyone's gonna be like, all right, you know, saw it off, will you? And but so it finally came. I didn't even know. Another driver texted me the link, and I was out in Washington. And I'm like, oh, that's handy. Look at that. And but there was a big thing going, like, they're like, oh, they're doing Shipper's doing William impressions. I never met William, but apparently you're spot on, Shipper. So yeah. Keep doing what you're doing.
Another person speaks.
Doing a William impression is not the same thing as doing some of the other stuff.
Now I'm just curious. I'm curious to hear your Russell Scott though.
Oh, I threatened him. I said, you know, you pissed me off, I'm going to talk to your brother up in Scranton.
Michael, this Scott. Is the second time you mentioned his brother in Scranton. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Nobody, you people ever watch The Office?
No.
Oh, actually. My God. Then Google it.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Oh, so my God. Good. Come on. Michael Scott up there in Thunder Mifflin Paper in Scranton. Come on. You know, it was a TV show for like, I don't know, 8 years. Come on,
man. And that's just the American version.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, my ingestion of The Office is literally YouTube shorts, because that's the only time I find it funny.
That's the only time I find it. That's what I said to my kid. How can you watch this? It's stupid.
Oh, the British version is even worse. And that's coming from a guy who's a huge Ricky Gervais fan. I'm like, this is trash. It's filth.
Yeah, it was. I didn't understand it. I totally agree with you, dude. What? Now I got unlocked my phone again.
I'm looking at scoring meth in Paducah.
Oh, there you
go. That's Kentucky. Or otherwise, as I call it on the weekend, you know, Nazareth in the quarry. Anyway, go ahead, speak.
So, you guys want to know how to score some meth in Paducah? I'm your guy.
I've been wondering how
I know a guy out of safety.
So, I was working for McLean. Now, my very first wedding anniversary, I'd asked for the day off. And the Albany terminal, they're like, well, that's cute. You're going to Maine on a 3-day. So my new bride was very pleased going over to her mother's house on her 1-year wedding anniversary by herself while I'm on the first day of the Augusta 3-day. And so I was, you know, I made it up to her, and I had the set, you know, because I called off the next route. And the next year we were in Kentucky at that point. And so I had said to Curtis, one of the supervisors did the scheduling. I said, Curtis, I said, can I have this night off? I said, it's my second year wedding anniversary. I spent the first one on a 3-day. So, you know, help me out here.
We'll give you a 2-day.
Right. Yeah, oh, he gave me a 2-day. All right. I would have been better off keeping my mouth shut, because I'm pretty sure the fact that I asked got me the route that I'd gotten. Because the one that I had gotten had a 24-hour layover, and I wasn't going to do back to the yard until like 8 o'clock at night on the night I wanted off. If I had just kept my mouth shut, I'd probably gotten back at noon, took the old lady out, came home, broke her off, went to bed, and went back to work that night. So instead, I get stuck on this route, going to Paducah and Bowling Green, all that, out on a it was a 24-hour layover. It was 23 hours and change. And so I'm like, I brought my Xbox. That's how long it was.
Kids.
So the very last stop of the first day, it was this Pizza Hut that was right next door to the hotel. Like, I didn't even go on line three leaving one parking lot to the next. I literally came out of the Pizza Hut, did a U-turn into the hotel parking lot. I parked my truck. I get all done for the day, and I go into the hotel. There's this lady at the front desk. She gets me all set up. I go to my room. I get my Xbox set up. It's got to do an update. I'm like, whatever.
It's kind of like the Maven.
Yeah. I'm like, well, this will take half an hour. I said, I'm going to, you know, I got a 24-hour layover. So I'm going to go buy some beer, make a day of it. So I walk out of the hotel. There was two gas stations with like real close. I go to the first one. I walk in. There's no beer anywhere. And so I'm like, oh, well, must have sold to a minor. Lost a liquor license. That's fine. I'll go to the one across the street. And as I get to the street and I'm about to cross, I'm like, wait a second. I bet you this is a dry county. And I'm like, I look it up on my phone real quick. I'm like, I said, you know, I just said, screw it. I'm going to walk back to the hotel. And I went to the clerk. I said, this is a dry county. And she said, yep. And I was like, oh, shit. And she's like, that's all right, baby. What you want? I said, my husband works the next county over. He's about to get off work. I said, listen. Tell him to bring me something. I got cash. I'll take care of him. She's like, that's fine. She said, go back to your room. I'll call you when he gets here. So like half hour, 45 minutes later, I get a call in my room. They said, yeah, my husband's here. He's got a six pack here for you. So I go up front. He brings me a six pack of Budweiser. No accounting for taste. But I said, here's $15. Keep the change. I appreciate you. And so at this point, it was the first lady, her husband, and some other lady, and then another one, the last one, remember her. We'll call her Jill. We got to call her something, right? So I cut it up with them for probably another 10 minutes. I go back to my room. You know, I'm doing 12-ounce curls, playing my Xbox, having a great time. You know, several hours go by. I'm like, all right, I'm getting hungry. It's time to, you know, wind things down a little bit. So I call the Pizza Hut that I delivered to a few hours earlier. I place an order. I said, I'll be right over. So I walk out and I'm crossing to the foyer area, lobby, whatever you call it. And I see Jill at the front desk. Everybody else is gone. And she kind of just had this look on her face. I said, are you all right? She said, yeah, I'm okay. I'm just waiting for my daughter to get here with some wake-up juice. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, you know, best of luck. So I leave. I go to Pizza Hut, get my food. I come back through. I give her a little nod, go back to my room, eat my dinner, finish my beer. I go to get in bed, and it was a junk hotel. You know, it's out in Paducah. It's a podunk town. You know, there ain't nothing going on. So
motel, motel.
Yeah. But like I do food service. My knees hurt. So I'm a side sleeper and I sleep with a pillow between my knees to, you know, take the edge off. So I walked back up to the front desk. I said, "Hey, Jill." I said, "You mind getting me an extra pillow?" She said, "Oh, yeah, honey. Let me take care. Let me go get that for you." So she goes to the room where they keep all their stuff. And she's rooting around in there trying to get an extra pillow. I said, "Hey, your daughter ever get here with that coffee?" She says, "Coffee?" I said, "Yeah, I seen you earlier." She said, "You're waiting for your daughter to get here with some wake-up juice." She's like, "I wasn't talking about coffee. I was talking about meth." What do you say to that?
Absolutely nothing. You just, okay.
A good night to you.
I'm like, I'm starting to have second guesses about whether or not I want to sleep with this pillow now, you know? I come back and they're like, "Oh, don't go to the," because that's McLean's, coded message they send you on the people net. "Don't go to the bathroom when you get back. We can't tell you why, you know?" So, yeah, that's, I've never been so stunned in my entire life. Like, listen, good honor for being honest. I respect the hustle, but
right.
Maybe, I don't know, keep that a secret next time.
Don't share everything.
Yeah.
You know, lie.
I've been told I'm too honest. I'm like, these people ain't got nothing on me. Or I said that backwards, but you know what I meant.
Yeah. Yeah, we got you.
We've been there and we have the t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. You know all about it.
Yes, sir. There's easier ways to rob a Taco Bell.
Yeah, there are.
Before we start this, hold on. Yeah, it just popped in my head. Yeah. You know, you're out in California.
Yeah.
How much is $950 worth of food you want to rob from the Taco Bell? How much food could that possibly be? Because you don't get charged for anything under $950.
It's $1,100.
Oh, it's $1,100?
I think it's $1,100.
Damn, it's, you got to come in with a wagon. Yeah,
a big wagon.
Yeah.
Not just a little Red Rider wagon, you know.
I was just thinking, it just popped in my head about, you know, I heard a story about a woman that, you know. Never mind. Sorry. I apologize. Never mind.
Leave it to shipper taking it off the rails.
Yep. There we
go. Although rails may be what you need to get $950 with a Taco Bell.
And plenty of toilet paper afterwards.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well. Never mind. I was going to say, don't do it during COVID.
There you go.
Anyway.
So I was working for McLean in Cincinnati, and they came to me and said, Plymouth, Michigan, it's right outside Detroit. They're like, they really could use some help. Can you go out of town for a couple of weeks? And I said, yeah, I can do that. And so I do my 2-week tour, and they had no Saturday night dispatch out of that terminal. Mm-hmm. So I get back on a Friday morning, and they had nothing for me that night. They're like, well, you could go home. I said, but they said, our number one driver, he's coming back Sunday night he's been out for like 2 months with pneumonia. I said, if you want, stay the weekend in the hotel, have a good time. We'll pay for it. And then if you can go out with him Sunday night to make sure he's okay. I said that they'd be like, you don't have to, but it would be appreciated. I said, yeah, I could do that. And it worked out for them because he made it through two stops before he was winded, completely just gone.
Wow.
Gone like yesterday. And he had to call a supervisor to have him come pick him up. But we had a very entertaining two stops because this old bird, he's 1,000 years old. He's telling me all kinds of stories. And apparently back in the, I think, 70s, late 70s, when McLean first got the Taco Bell contract, he was telling me this. He's like, I'm delivering to the store one night. And he said, the manager told me that, I don't know how this came up. Just use your imagination. But he's like, the manager told me that if somebody knocked on the back door and they had a gun to your head, we wouldn't open the door because we don't want to lose our money.
Wow.
Yeah. The gall, right? And not to be outdone, this guy, he's full of piss and vinegar. He's telling me, I looked right at the manager, said, if somebody's got a gun to my head and you don't open the back door, I'm going to tell that guy, there's a truck. Where do you want the hole in the building?
Nothing wrong with that.
No, sir.
Those front doors cave in quick.
I've seen what a hammer can do, never mind a tractor trailer. Right. I feel like there's something there.
Yeah. Yeah. Good answer.
There'd be a new drive through in town. Yes, there would be.
Make it yourself.
Yes, that's sir. Right. It's a self serve Taco Bell.
Wow. Yeah. How about it?
Unbelievable. Thank you.
Unbelievable. How about it? Go ahead, Chip. Down in
Blake Shelton. Yeah, Blake Shelton fist fight.
Oh, boy.
I was just checking my eyes, man.
I know. Bad. Good thing you're getting them done,
yeah,
huh?
Fuck. Yeah.
Yeah. So, just for everybody's information, Blake Shelton was not actually involved. So some years ago, Blake Shelton did this whole PR campaign with Pizza Hut. Uh-huh. He was on all their commercials. He's plugging it, telling everybody it's the best pizza in the world. And like he was like, well, I don't know.
It was when you're drunk.
It's fantastic. Yeah. But no, like I still maintain that their garlic breadsticks. Phenomenal. But he had this whole PR campaign, and he would kind of end each commercial. And I don't know if these are his words. They were probably just scripted for him. You know, some idiot somewhere thought this was a good idea. And he would end the commercial with, I wouldn't lie to you, I'm a celebrity. And like a few months later, he got busted for cheating on his wife. And I'm just like, oh, this is perfect. So like throughout this whole PR campaign, there's Blake Shelton standees in all the Pizza Huts.
Well, they got to go.
Yeah. So I'm in New Haven, Connecticut, which is not, despite the rumors about Connecticut, some of them are true, like it's all uppity and everything. There's still some bad parts of Connecticut. I'm in New Haven, and I pull into this Pizza Hut. It's the very first stop, and there's like a street gang across. They're across the street. And so, like, I was never too worried, but, like, I'm not – taking any chances. So this particular pizza had a little breezeway where you open up one door and there's a second one. So I open the first door. I come in, I immediately turn around and I lock the door behind me and I turn around and there's Blake Shelton staring me in the face and I jump 3 feet in the air. But that's not even the best part, because my buddy Mike, the same one who now actually is a line haul driver in Albany, he also worked for McLean at the time, and he ran Providence, Rhode Island. And apparently one of his customers, they decided to take the piss and they put the Blake Shelton standee right inside the cooler door. So he's in a Pizza Hut in the dead of night, opens the door to the cooler, you know, and just sees Blake Shelton staring at him. He hauls off, gives a, you know, and just, you know, punches him right in the face, thinking, you know, somebody's coming at him. So he basically beats up a standee in the middle of the night. He comes back the next week. Apparently he had gotten there late that day, or they had left early. I don't know. He comes back the next week. He walks in the door. They're all laughing their asses off because they've been watching this thing, the security camera footage on repeat for like 7 days.
He made the loop. He
made the review. There may very well be footage of him on YouTube. I honestly haven't thought to look before now, but I'm doing that as soon as we end this call. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. That is awesome. Yeah, you know, down and dirty in Albuquerque?
Did we do that? No, we have not.
I didn't think so.
So, I-40, which runs through all of New Mexico, including Albuquerque. If you're heading west on 40, there's a very significant downgrade, not like real significant, but enough, right? So much so that if you you start on this downgrade, it's very windy, twisty, turny, and if you jake it just right in the curves so that you don't lose a ton of momentum, and you're at the right time of day where there's not a lot of traffic, this is complete. No BS. You can if you don't lose, if you do it just right, you can coast in gear for 30 miles.
Wow.
If I'm talking from the start of this downgrade, you take the corners just right, don't lose a bunch of momentum, you can coast clear to the other side of Albuquerque. Go on your map, look for when the things start getting twisty and turny, and then chart it to the loves on the other side of Albuquerque, 30 miles. Which is great if you're a lease operator, owner operator, and you're paying for your own fuel. I mean, coasting 30 miles, that's amazing. So the thing is about New Mexico, they don't salt the roads. They drop dirt on them, and all the dirt in New Mexico is red. And so I'm coming through there in the dead of winter, and my windshield wipers, the windshield wiper fluid freezes up. And here I am going on I'm on this downgrade, and you know, just road spray is just spraying up what's essentially mud onto my windshield.
Right.
And I'm on this twisty, turny, curvy downgrade with looks like I've gone through a parade, honestly. That's how red my windshield is. And yeah, it was terrified. I'm a brand new driver going through this curvy part of the section of the road, and there's no shoulder. You can't pull over. There's no pulling over. You have a rock wall on one side and an escarpment on the other. You know, there's no shoulder whatsoever.
I don't understand what the problem is. You just reach out there, get yourself a porthole, and you're good to go.
Here he goes with his portholes again. Yeah.
Hey, my arms are long, but they're not that long.
Right.
You just got to learn we're going to look to this side of the windshield.
No, that's basically what I was doing. I was like, you know, kind of trying to find the secret spot. Yeah, when I managed to make it through there, but I tell you what, that was nerve wracking.
Why do they use dirt?
Why do we use salt?
Yeah, but I mean, dirt. I mean, it literally fills the potholes.
Once it dries, it packs down hard. Road resurfaced.
It's probably because it's cheaper and they don't have a bunch of money. Oh, I mean, who lives in New Mexico? It's mostly desert,
right?
Or, you know, no disrespect, Indian reservations. They're not paying taxes. Nor should they.
Right. Yeah, I never thought about that. I was just curious. Like, I never heard of any places. But I've never been to Albuquerque, so.
So you're not taking.
You're not missing anything.
You're not taking.
Little Debbie's not knocking on your window. Showing you her squeegee.
Yeah.
Oh, the blue juice indeed. Is flowing.
The blue juice. All right. What do we got, Chip?
The international incident.
Oh, boy.
No, we didn't do that.
Not yet.
So, I remember I was in London, Ohio, which is just west of Columbus. And I got called up from Stevens. They said, hey, we need you to repower a load and take it to Toronto. I said, okay. They said, you need to get there tonight. I said, okay, I can do that. So it was my very first time going to Canada with a commercial vehicle. I should preface with that. Excuse me. So I the guy gets to the truck stop. We swap trailers. And so I headed to Toronto. My port of entry was Port Huron. And from there, I jumped in the 402, took it straight into Toronto, made my delivery, and then they had me pick up some sort of load of baked goods that was going to Minneapolis, St. Paul, Twin Cities. Excuse me. And so I'm headed back. This is the next day. I'm headed back to the States. And my port of entry was Detroit. And I was like, you know, I'm still a relatively new driver, so I'm terrified. And I'm like, I don't want to deal with traffic in Detroit. I said, I'm just going to go back the way I came through Port Huron. This will be great. You know, the 402 was real. There wasn't any traffic on that. I get to Port Huron, and that's where I went wrong. Because turns out you can't just go to any port of entry. You have to go to the one that they set you up with, and that's that. Here's where it gets interesting. I was transporting food. So now the FDA is involved.
Uh-oh.
It became such a fiasco. Like, they're at this point now, I'm going through the X-ray. They think I'm smuggling something. You know, the government's involved. Like, it was a big deal. I ended up being there for, I don't know, something like 6 hours.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Like, they really thought I was doing something slick. And I was just like, I'm just an idiot. You know, I don't know what I'm doing. I've been driving for 6 months. What do you want from me?
Six hours.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So, year long.
it actually ended up turning into a really big deal. And that had a big deal that had a simple solution. I mean, by the time I left there, me and the border agents, we were on a first name basis. Like, there was this one lady, she's like, Zach, we got to get you out of here. And I'm like, I know. Apparently, all they needed was for the broker they're like, literally, we'll take chicken scratch on a piece of paper that they fax to us. All we need from the broker is to change your port of entry. We just need it documented. Right. And I had called Stevens, I don't know, 100 times, and they would not help me. They just would not do it. And finally, I got through to somebody. I'm like, listen, this is all I need. We can resolve this whole incident right here, right now. And I got it taken care of. But it was a pretty big deal. I almost, you know, it made the CBS Evening News. Anderson Cooper.
The international smuggling ring of bagels.
I want to say it was brownies, but I'm not 100% sure.
Well, but they, what kind of brownies were you
calling there? See, yes, that might have been the issue. You know, yeah. Like, we need to test the batch.
Right. Start at the front, work your way back. Yeah,
they had me going through the X-ray machine and everything. They're like, "You're going too fast." I'm like, "It's my first time."
How fast would you like me to go?
Here's the key. You can drive it. isn't it great? You don't have to worry about any of that now.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah. What a relief.
Like, I'm going to Washington. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, that's not a bad night. How far
Hold
is
on
that?
A second. Somebody's knocking on my garage door. Hold on a second.
Okay.
The mass murderer.
Search warrant.
Yeah. Please hold. Because we're still recording, right? Yeah. The guy's lost. He's asking for directions. Look at him. He's laughing. He just muted us. Oh, where's the Taco Bell?
Oh, God.
Well, hey, this is a good time to say that, you know, that up there at Kalahari, the guys are up there doing the internet, the truck show there.
Yes, they are.
The truck competition. So good luck to all those guys.
Good luck.
Now, back to Zach.
Yeah, no, so that was my neighbors. They were inviting me to, I have some Hispanic neighbors. They love to party on the weekends.
They got any empanadas?
Maybe.
Oh, send them up. Box them up. Put a
spray on
it. Send it downtown.
I always take care of them because, like, I've been single, living alone for the last 2 years, for the better part of last year. They knock on my door like, hey, can we use your parking? I'm like, yeah, go ahead. I don't care. I ain't using it. block my, I have two vehicles, block my truck in, you're fine.
Right.
And so, you know, they send cake over to my house and they just invited me to the party. They're having a party at 4 o'clock. So they were telling me they were knocking on my door and I didn't answer. So they just started knocking on the garage. I thought it was the cops. That was a cop knock if I've ever heard one. I was fully prepared to open the garage door and be like, yes, officer, I'll mow the lawn eventually. I work nights. Give me a break.
Or that's somebody who has had the cops knock on their door a couple of times. That's why it sounded like a cop knock.
It happens. No. Well, I honestly never had that happen.
No, but not you. I meant them.
They but, sound, you know, they're actually really nice people. They had a party about a month ago. They saw me sitting on my front step smoking a cigar. They had somebody come over with a piece of cake, and I'm just like, this is amazing. I got the recipe for this.
That's nice. I know that. Just tell them you need a cake made. You know, order, place your order now.
Nice,
dude. That's how people are in Ohio.
Yeah.
Or at least on my street, anyways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not like that in Pennsylvania, I tell you that much.
They see you're lucky if they let you into your lane, never mind invite you to a party.
They see you sitting on your porch. You're just walking on by. They ain't talking at all. They're just, you know,
get off my lawn.
That's my attitude. You know? Yeah, I got neighbors. I see them out there. I'm not waving. No.
And they say I'm the people person. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, we got one more to cover.
Where?
I will tell you what it is in a second. Fast Times in Bluefield, West Virginia.
Oh. So.
Kind of like Ridgemont High, but a little bit.
Sort of.
Yeah, basically that was kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, no Spicoli.
Funny, strangely enough, never seen the movie.
Another youngster.
I know, he's too young, right?
You got a lot of homework to do.
You know, I've been told that before. To be fair, I'm the youngest of an older generation. Some of my siblings are double digits older than me. So I actually do have a lot of exposure to music and movies and shows that are before my time. But
gamma rays.
I can't get to everything. All right. So cut me some slack.
That's understandable. We will. But
you know, I may listen to Led Zeppelin, but if I miss, you know, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, I feel like that's, you know, you can forgive that.
Yeah. It'd be good without that one.
Yeah. So I had this, there was this route for McLean that I got stuck doing because, excuse me. The guy who was running it got fired, and apparently he was dog shit anyways. And they put me on it because I was an extra board driver. They put me on it because I was the only guy who ran those loops that could turn it. We're talking about this is the last stop of the day is in Tazewell, Virginia, from Hebron, Kentucky, which is right outside Cincinnati as the bird flies. Like we're talking a few miles,
right?
Tazewell, Virginia is a bit of a hike. The day one alone had 9.5 hours of drive time. And you still had to do 5 stops. So if you weren't light on your feet, you weren't getting it done. So I get to the first stop. I do that. And I go to leave and the transmission light is on. Now, we've all been driving a truck for a minute, okay?
Right.
Lights come on. You don't half the time you don't even pay him any mind. It's probably a sensor. I've been driving 12 years. 12 years and 4 days. In 4 days, I'll be able to drive. I got my license 12 years ago. I wrote up an ABS light twice because it's more often than not it's a sensor.
Yep.
It's not the actual system. So, the transmission light comes on, and I'm just like, well, I'll call the office and just let them know. And so I call them up. I'm like, yeah, my transmission light's on. And they're like, well, what do you want us to do? And I'm like, I'm letting you know. They're like, you got to call road service? I'm like, it's Saturday morning in BFE, West Virginia. What do you think is going to happen? I'll sit here for 8 hours. And they're like, okay. So I just go about my business. So I go to the next town over is where you did there's 3 back-to-back-to-back stops. And from there, it was a 3.5-hour drive to stop 5 in Tazewell, Virginia.
Wow.
And you're going right up US 52. It's nothing but mountains and hills. I know the light was on, but I didn't know it was an actual problem at that point. If you're having transmission problems, the mountains aren't where you want to be. I was struggling to get up them. So I get to Bluefield, West Virginia, and it's some podunk town out in the middle of nowhere. And I get to this light, cause you could go straight through, but no, you couldn't with a truck. So you had to kind of go around. I get to this light. I got to make a left. I had been like hoping and praying, like, please just be green when I get there. And it wasn't. So the light turned red. I had to stop. What am I going to do? Do I stay here? Do I just try it? And I'm like, if the truck's, it's having problems, but it's kept moving so far. I'm like, I'm just going to go for it. So the light turned green and I started moving and I stopped moving.
Sounds like me on the turnpike there. Coming up from Cherry Hill, same thing with the Mac. Made a noise, but we're going home.
Yeah. Anything can happen in the what happens in the Allegheny Tunnel stays in the Allegheny Tunnel. So I am stuck in the middle of an intersection in Bluefield, West Virginia. Turns out, according to the police, busiest intersection in town, which ain't really saying much, but you're talking about a bunch of ornery West Virginians who ain't never had this happen before, so right. They don't even know how to act. So I call the law. I'm like, y'all got to get out here. These folks are losing their minds. They don't know what to do. Folks are driving around the left of me, around the right of me. Somebody's going to get killed. You got to get – it still took the cops 15 minutes. So it turns out there was only two of them on duty that day. So they finally show up, and so they're directing traffic. I had gotten a phone with Penske SOS. Imagine that. And I'm talking to Stephanie, and she's like, well, we need to get you a tow. And I said, you know, at that point, I said, well, I got the police here. And she's like, you did what? And I'm like, I said, I got the police here. She's like, how could you? Apparently, if you call the law, the law calls a tow service.
Right.
And so now Penske couldn't call one that they wanted to call and maybe get a cheaper rate.
Right.
And so I'm getting bitched out by Stephanie here. And I did not take too kindly to that. I'm talking to my company, and I sent them pictures. I said, you realize the sand of this chick? She's reading me the riot act for calling the police for, you know, in the interest of public safety. And yeah, listen, I've said a lot of unkind things about McLean, but for the second time, they went to bat for me. They called up Penske and blew them up like Oklahoma. And it turns out Stephanie was also very sorry.
Well, you know what I always say? If you light it on fire, the fire truck comes way before a tow truck.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
Yes, they do.
So, but you know, the best part of this story, right? Wrecker finally gets there. Okay. Now, Bluefield is a very hilly place. And I have a still somewhat very loaded trailer. Mm-hmm. And he knows where I'm like at this point, my last stop is not coming off. I can't make the last delivery until I get a replacement unit. So he's towing me to the hotel, and there is no way he's getting me into the hotel because it's a big hill with a lot of twists and turns. You know, it's hard enough getting a 75-foot tractor trailer around these corners, never mind adding a wrecker. So I'm like, bring me to the tractor supply across the street. I'll talk to the manager and see. We'll see if we can come up, come up with a solution here to let me stay tonight, because there was no truck parking. So he's bringing me all the way around Bluefield. He's like, listen, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. He said, if you want to do it the easy way and get this day over with, sit in the cab and brake for me. You see my brakes on, you hit the brake pedal. I said, yeah, I can do that. So He gets me hooked up. I'm, you know, the cab of the tractor is sitting up in the air. Mm-hmm. We're driving through Bluefield. This is a brand new experience. I've been driving almost a decade. This has never happened to me before. And he starts making a right at this intersection. And here I am, you know, doing this on the steering wheel. And we're getting halfway to the intersection. I'm like, wait a second. I don't think this is working as intended. But it's like, you know, it's muscle memory. You start turning, and I just started turning with the steering wheel. Right. And I felt so foolish afterwards.
Hilarious. Oh, that's good, dude. That is.
But crazy. Yeah, so we got to the Tractor Supply. I told the man, I said, listen. I said, my truck's broke down. I said, they're towing me a replacement unit, but when it gets here, I'm not going to have the hours to move the truck. I said, it'll be illegal for me. I said, it'll be gone by 3 o'clock in the morning. He said, go ahead. You stay the night. So it worked out.
That was good. That was really nice of him to do that. That worked out.
Yeah. Shout out to Tractor Supply.
Yep. How about it? Very good.
And Phantom Steering.
Yes.
We do what we need to do. You know, yep. Get it done. So that's all that counts. No matter what.
That tow truck driver was like, did that make you feel good?
Thanks for your help steering.
Yes.
You know, it's one thing to sit in it because, you know, you guys drive. You know, you sit in those trucks. You see everything. Try getting put up on a lift. Mm-hmm. You know, you got even more of a bird's eye view.
Right.
Yeah. You're at a slight angle a little, but you know, you're still up.
Yeah. well, that was awesome. Zach, thank you so much for coming on. We really had a good time. It was really fun. I enjoyed myself. Shipper, did you enjoy yourself?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Nobody cares what he thinks anyways.
No, they don't. He thinks everybody cares and everybody wants him to do his rants. That's what the people want. He's crying.
Ryan over at Linehole told me he doesn't give a shit.
There you go. That explains a lot, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Well, just hang on with us for a second then, Zach. As we close this out, you know, we just want to thank you for coming on the show and hope everybody enjoyed the show. Shipper, if they enjoyed the show, what can they do?
They can share the show. Share it with everybody, friends, enemies, Linehole, Control, Central, whatever you call them. Russell Scott.
Michael and Russell.
Yeah, the brothers. The brothers
and
Scott.
And his brother in Scranton.
Yeah. Yes. I'm sorry, Russell. That's a shipper thing. That's all right. You know, I feel bad.
No, you don't. Yeah, you don't feel bad at all.
I do.
Okay.
Anyway.
Send him to Buffalo.
That's right.
With all no chains.
Keep the hammer down.
In the hammer lane.
In the hammer lane.
Have a good night.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shaped the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.